morning. Best family, friends, neighbors. So good to have you join in with us on the podcast gathering this morning. Another Lord's Day, we've been blessed. It's another day's journey, and I'm glad about it. And I'm glad to see all of you coming in this morning to share with us in worship. And we pray that, God will just allow us to uplift his name, for he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised and adored. Amen. We're hoping that we get Cheryl to come in a moment. We'll see how that works. If not, we'll just have to go. We appreciate all of you all coming in. And thank you all again for participating in our prayer initiative, our 40-day prayer initiative. I know so many of you out there have been calling upon the name of the Lord. And I know the Lord is a good God, and he's worthy to be praised, and he's worthy to be adored. Because that's just how great our God is. And we'll certainly thank you for joining in. All right. I think it looks like Cheryl's having. Okay, here she is. All right. So Cheryl is going to come in now with our prayer and give us our prayer for this morning. All right, Cheryl, we're ready for you.
Amen. Good morning. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, we declare this morning that your name is to be hallowed, your name is to be glorified. Your name is to be worshiped this morning. We praise you for being such a good, good Father to us. We thank you that you loved us with an everlasting love. We praise you this morning for your sunshine, Lord. This is the day you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for your breath in our lungs. And because you gave us breath this morning, God, we praise you. And we adore you that all is well with us as it is. If the heavens can declare your glory, God, even your people, even your children, Father God, adore you this morning. And so we give you praise for your protection and your provision all week long, how you provided for us, how you've been a keeper, how you've been a sustainer to us this week. God, and we praise you for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. So we thank you for that on today. Now, God, we pray for your time. Our time today would just be a time of fruit, a time of blessings, a time of growth. We pray, God, you will speak expressly to your people through your word on today. God, we want to have honest conversation with you today. We want you to hear our petitions on today for those who, God, we are standing in the need of prayer for today, and those that are in the hospitals, those that are at home, those that are just in need of you on today, God, in our families, in our church family, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our world, Lord. We are just standing in the gap for them on today, praying, God, you move in a mighty way, move in a powerful way, move in a saving way, move in a healing way, move in a restoration day on today. But then, God, we just thank you, Father God, that you are God that hears and you answer our prayer. But more than anything else, we thank you that you're making us to be like Jesus. You're shaping us and you're molding us to make our will, God, his will, to make our desires line up with his desires. And we pray that all that we say and do bring glory and honor to your name. We pray that we be a light to this dark world. We pray we be salt to this world, God. So use our lives in a magnificent way to your glory. All of the Bethsaida family, God, I pray we draw closer to you and closer to each other. And I bless our time today in a great way. It's your word, God, that gives us life. It's your word that speaks strength to us. It's your word that speaks hope to us. So we need your word on today, God, more than anything. We pray for our new president, vice president, all those of the cabinet. God, we pray for wisdom that will lead this world, God. This world is in need of you, Father. So we need your wisdom. We need you to grant them, Father God, a spirit, Father God, that will listen to you, that will heed to your voice, that would help those families that are hurting, help so many that are in need on today, God. We pray, Father God, for legislation, for laws, Father God, for avenues that would be a blessing, that would open up ways, Father God, in our economic situation. There's so many ways, God, we need you today. So, God, you know all about it. You know exactly where to touch. You know exactly where to move. So we lift it all to you, and we lay it all at your feet because we trust you. And your world needs you on today, God. As the children of your of the household of faith, we just stand in the gap right now. We just intercede for this world in a great way. The children that are trying to navigate virtually, God, bless them, God. The parents that are trying to work from home, bless them, Father. And then, God, those who are seeking employment, we pray your financial blessings for them, God. We pray you'd have your way. Thank you, God, for Carla and her leg being better. But I lift her to you today, God. Pray you continue to heal her leg situation and that you bring victory to that situation. We thank you. We praise you for that. And go with us today in a great way in your word and allow us to have joy and tremendous peace throughout this day. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. It's about time we're going to try to get into the word of God. All right. Hopefully we won't have any difficulties today. That sound okay over there, Gab? Everything's good. All right, let's get into the Word of God. We are back into our same passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to really be focusing today on 9 and 10. And we'll see, we may go a little bit further than that. But let me read Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 for you this morning. And I hope and pray that y'all can just kind of just read and meditate upon this passage since we're going to at least be on today. I don't know about next week. We may be on something different. But I think we're going to hit it one more time today because there's a couple of things I do want to highlight. And so we can get a good grip. I think the 2 weeks we spent on it and this week should give us a pretty good grip on this passage. Verse 9 says, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. We ask a blessing to the readers, hearers, and ultimately to those who walk in the word of God in a way. So we so appreciate that this morning. All right, let's get into the word. This morning we entitled our message for this morning, When His Business Becomes Our Business. When His Business Becomes Our Business. Listen, just briefly, I'm going to go as quickly as I can. I'm going to just put a couple of reminders of a couple of things in this prayer. Number one, Jesus, before he taught us how to pray, he kind of helped us to unlearn and correct us about some of the bad ways are some of the ways not to pray that was prevalent in his culture. He said, number one, we shouldn't pray to please people as the hypocrites did. They summoned the crowd and prayed prayers to please people. And Christ said, when you do that, you already have your reward. That some people are pleased. And then secondly, he told us not to be like the Gentiles, who they're maybe not as focused on pleasing people, but their focus is on persuading God to do their bidding rather than submitting to God and doing God's bidding. And they try to persuade or convince God to do their bidding by their much praying and their repetition and pleading with God. Both of those ways are erroneous ways of prayer. Amen. But now We're coming in, and the Lord told us last week that when we come to God, and this is so great, that when we come to God, we can come to him like our Father who is in heaven, like a caring Father who's has our, who loves us and has our best in his mind, what's best for us, and he's willing to listen to us. And but the main thing we've said before, and remember the title of this series, is we always, because I want that to be on your mind, amen. It comes down to saying, please God, or asking God, or pleading with God to do something for us, or please God being our goal to please God and to do what he would have us to do. So are you trying to get God to do your bidding, or are you submitting and yielding and yourself to him so he can do what he pleases through your life to make your world a better place? So that's kind of an idea that I want you to keep on your mind today as we move forward. Now, in the first thing we said last week, we looked at these first three. There are six petitions. Okay, the first three are about God, his name, his kingdom, and his will. And those, and that's going to be the main focus. I may go further than that, but that's going to be the main focus of our message today. In the time, in biblical time, the New Testament time, and probably Old Testament times too, one of the things that usually happened was that when a son grew up in a family, he often took over the business of his father. If the father was a carpenter, the son usually became a carpenter. Even some who had fathers who were priests, the sons also became priests. If you were a shepherd, the father was a shepherd, the son became a shepherd. So either whatever the occupation or the business of the father was, the sons, our sons took over that business. Well, this morning, I'm looking at this passage, and it seems like Christ in this passage is saying the same thing. When we go to our Father in prayer, one of the things that's going to happen is that Christ says, when we go to our Father in prayer, we begin to make his business our business. His business becomes our business. Because his business is his name, his kingdom, and his will. And when we go to him, his business becomes our business. Are you with me so far? Listen, his first business, God's first business, is his name. Hallowed be his name. That word hallowed has to do with his name being set apart. Yeah. Listen. When we hallow his name, we hold his name in awe. We say, how awesome is our God? And we treat him as something sacred and holy. It means to treat God as treat God as holy and as glorious and as majestically beautiful as he really is. And no name can come close to his name. To have your whole heart captivated with the wonder of him, to praise and to adore him with all that you have, is to holler, is to set his name so high that he has no rivals in your life. That's because his name is him. When we say God's name, name represents character, so his name represents him. To hallow his name is to hallow him and to set him apart. That no, he has no rivals. He's all by himself. And we worship him and we praise him while he's all by himself. Oh, my goodness. Listen here. We have to. This comes to. Now, one of the things we got to do if we're going to really hallow God's name, we have to get into the Word of God, because that's how we get to know this person, is through the Word of God, and then the Word of God becomes an interpreter of our experiences. When we enter the Word of God is and have a sense of how God moves in the Word of God, we can see him moving similarly in our own lives. In things that we thought were just happen or happened by accident, we realize they didn't happen by accident because we've been in the scripture and we now know the footprints and the fingerprints of God. So when he moves in our life, similar to how he's moved in other biblical areas, then we can say to ourselves, that was God. That was God. And you get to know God. Because what we want to do, when you praise him, you want to praise him for all the great things. You ought to have a list. Don't just say, God, thank you, you're great. But no, we need a list of the ways he's great. How has he been great in your life? You need some specifics. So when you in prayer and you're hollering his name, you can go back to those specific ways that God has been good to you. Those specific incidences that he came through for you. Those specific times that he made a way out of no way. Has he healed your body? You can share that with him, God. Has he made a way? Did he bless you with a job? When doors were closed, did he open them? By, you can praise God for all these things. Always, it's always a good thing to begin prayer with praise. Because praise make the rest of the prayer go better. When you begin and by highlighting how great he is, how wonderful he is, how he's came through for you and for others, for your family. He's came through in scripture and biblically. Because sometimes as you read the scriptures and you see how God comes through, and you're reminded of an incident where it's similar to what happened in scripture, how he came through for you, that gives you another thing to thank God for. You need to think about what God has done. And once you start thinking about what he's done, that thinking will come out in expressions of what God has done. You have to express it. If you would listen, I want you to look at Psalm 63, I think it is. I don't have time to turn in now. But when you look at Psalm 63, the psalmist is doing this. And then he said, after he began to think about how good God's been to him and then how God had blessed him, he says, I'm going to praise God with my lips. Mm-hmm. Then he said, I lift up my hands. Then he talked about joy overflowing. Then he makes a comparison, says your love to me is better than life because of the experiences that he had had with God. He had so much to thank God for. Always just hollered his name. Because the more you see and experience God in your life and in the word of God, you begin to set him aside. There's none like him. There will be no other rivals. Your main job should be to please him, not please others who haven't been there for you, but to please a God that's always been there for you. At every point in time, he's always been there for you. So now that's your business. That becomes your business. Our business as believers, as followers of Christ, is to do everything we can with our mouths, with our lives, with the way we live, with the way we conduct ourselves, with the way we share him with others, with how great we talk about him and how much we talk about him being good. We are to make his name renowned for how great a God he is. That ought to be our conversation. That when people have experienced stuff, they ought to know how great our God is. Don't you let God be great in your life and then don't share it with nobody. It ought to be shared in a job, in a neighborhood, in the families, how great your God is. So his name is made to renown and his glory is seen. There is nothing more important than to give God the glory for our life. We ought to glorify God. That's our main objective as human beings, is to give God glory and to glorify and lift up and magnify his name. Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me and let's uplift his name together. He deserves it. If he deserves it, I'm going to tell you, not only did he deserve it, but he deserves it way more than we give it. First job that he got, that we got, because he always glorifies his own name. You know how our God glorifies his name. He chooses the people, amen, and then he works through those people, and he usually chooses people that have limitations and people that you know can't accomplish a purpose or task on himself, people that the world looks down on and shuns and rejects, and he chooses them and uses them in such a powerful way that when they do the miraculous thing that nobody thought could be done, everybody had to look back and say, God did it, and his name is glorified and lifted up. So we glorify his majestic name because he's just that kind of God. Yeah. We all not just be a church choir. If you're a choir member, you all not just praise God at church. Ushers and deacons and whatever office you hold, or just don't just praise God at church. His praise should always be on our lips, and not only just on our lips, but the way we live our lives should say to those around us how we holler his name, how important pleasing him is to us. When you go out living any kind of way, that's not hollering his name. Because his name is attached to you. His name is attached to you. So when you live in a way that disrespects that name, it brings it down amongst those that don't know him. Don't disgrace his name, but lift his name up. So first we have to lift up his name. Lift up the name of Jesus. He's worthy to be lifted up. I know if you really look at it, he's been good to all. But not only his name, my brothers and sisters, but his kingdom. His kingdom. What is his kingdom? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is present, but it's not, we have it present partially. It'll come in its fullness when Christ returns. But until then, we have it partially. For all of us who have made him Lord and Savior, who have accepted his salvation and living our lives from him. We are already part of the kingdom. Now, living in America where we don't have a monarchy, we don't know much about kings. One of the things I think that come close to a king in our culture is that of a coach, especially a coach, maybe like a professional coach or a coach that's well noted for winning. Often coaches are like kings, and the fact that if you're really, really good coach, you almost got a full say over your program. But one of the things about if a team is losing, a team usually loses because of the culture of the team. Did y'all get that? A team loses because of the culture of the team. So often to change the culture, you got to change the leadership or the coach or the king. Well, the reason why our world is in darkness is because who's in charge? Amen. The prince of the power of the air is allowed to have darkness on this world, but yet Jesus is coming on the scene. And when we submit our lives to him, we become part of the kingdom of light. And our task then is to put out darkness. We are part of the kingdom of light. We are children of light. We, our task is to put out darkness. We bring a whole new culture. Wherever we are, Christ has brought a brand new culture from us, brought us from that losing culture to a winning culture. And we take that winning culture and we make the world a better place by just letting our little light shine, being salt and light in our world. It's partially, his kingdom has partially came as it's part of our lives. His kingdom exists as we follow him. We his children of his kingdom. We are his followers. So it's not fully. Now, when he comes back, every knee will have to bow. And every tongue going to have to confess that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But right now, we ought to be bound and we ought to be professing and we ought to be seeking his kingdom, our God's kingdom. See, to let his kingdom show, let his kingdom come in our life. He's our king. So it's all about, if it's his kingdom and he's king, then our task as his followers, as those subject to him, is to please him. So now it's saying prayer is about lifting up his name, praising his name, hallowing his name, but also prayer is about being part of his kingdom. Our whole reason for praying is to get his kingdom to come in the lives of our community, in the lives of our families, our classmates. When it begins by being in our lives, when they can see how he's changed the culture of our life, how he's made us better people, how we bloom and blossom into whom God had created us to be, then that becomes an advertisement for others, amen, to come and place themselves in his culture. Because it may be what they've been looking for all the time. But I want to tell you one thing about being in his kingdom. You're not going to be appreciated because you're not going to fit this world. When you get in, when you become serious about being a follower of Christ, don't expect a lot of popularity because you don't fit. Not in this world. You don't fit in this world. You're going to be persecuted. Amen. Because you don't fit in this world. You're going to hunger and thirst for righteousness because you don't see it in this world. You're a peacemaker. You're a child of God. But you don't, a peacemaker is not welcome in this world. So you don't fit because you're trying to follow Christ. But that's what your father told you to do. Thy kingdom come. Now, the problem is, a lot of time when we pray, we don't say, thy kingdom come. We'll say, my kingdom come. Because we feel like we're the one in charge. We're the one in control. God, this is what I want. This is what I need you to do. I need you to do it. Hurry up and quick. Because I really need this. And we think we are in charge. So more, it becomes more about our kingdom, his kingdom. We are not saying, thy kingdom come. We are saying, my kingdom come. God does not honor a prayer that says, my kingdom come. God honors the prayer that says, thy kingdom come. God, what do you want done? What do you want to happen in this world? What do you want to happen in my home? What do you want to happen on my job? What do you want to happen? I submit myself. I surrender. I say yes to what you want to happen, not what I want to happen. That's a radical. That's a radical, because often we think that's the only thing prayer is for, getting something from God that we want. And that's the only time we pray to him, is to get something from God that we want. But you need to, that's why I say stay in the scripture, because as we stay in the scripture, we begin to see what God, what pleases God, what God enjoys, what God wants to happen to this world, what he wants to bring forth, the vision, the purpose, the plan, the program, the promises that God has for you. And then you pray as a way of bringing those things into the world, into your part of so it's his name, it's his kingdom, and then it's his will, not your will. How often that we just pray the prayer and then we put thy will be done, but you know it's all about your will. You know it's all about your will. You was asking for your will. Now listen here. This is a key story. This is what happened. You need to spend some time on this part of prayer. I know we're trying to get down to that next verse, but you need to spend some time on his kingdom and his will and his name. Because sometimes that's where the fight comes in. Because we don't want to give up our kingdom, our will, and our name. So it becomes a struggle. You have to, in this part of prayer, you have to wrestle with God until you surrender, give in, and say yes every day. This could be a wrestling match. Because sometimes, just like Christ, he said, Father, if it be in a way, let this cup pass from me. But he finally came. He stayed there until he got to the point where he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And sometimes we have to go through that same wrestling match in prayer that he did. We're like Jacob. Remember Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night long. Now, we realize that at the end of that, Jacob didn't really win that wrestling match because his hip was out of joint and he had a limp from then on. But the key to it, when you lose to God, you always win. Oh, when you put up the white flag, say, God, I surrender. I give in to your way, your will. When you lose to God, you always win. Because God's plan for us is always better than our plan for us. God's will for us is always better than our will for us. God's kingdom is always better than our kingdom. But we have the unmitigated gall and the outright audacity to feel like our will, we know more than God. Our will is better than God. Our way is better than God. Our is better than God. So until we lose the fight, we can never win. You never win until you lose to God and say, God, I surrender. yes to your will, yes to your way, yes to everything you want me to do. Yeah, once Jacob lost the fight, he was a deceiver, and he tried trickery to get his everything he wanted, but he realized as he lost to God, and God changed his name. Oh, when you give up and let God have his way, he changes his name. He'll change your name. He'll change your name if you let him have his way. You just got to say, hey, God, I realize I've been fighting. So that's, now, that can take a little time in prayer. We don't want to spend no time on that. We want to get down to the next part in prayer. But that's a, that's where we need to spend time with God. We're praising, praising. So, listen, his business becomes our business because he's our Father, and it passes on to us, making his name renowned, giving him glory. It passes on us, the spreading of his kingdom, starting with us and sharing it with others, how they can be part of the kingdom by accepting this king who's available to be our Father because of what his Son done on the cross and paying the price for his sins. Then he says, do my will. And when we do his will, we are so blessed in doing the will of God. Not my will, but thy will be done. Because of my Father, he knows. He's been around. He knows way more than I know. He's the creator of this vast universe. He sustains the universe. He had the power of this world in his hands. He's unlimited. And he's my Father and cares about my well-being. So whatever he says, I got to surrender to. Because he's a good, good Father. He loves me. Even when his answer is disappointing to me, because he answers prayer, but sometimes the answer is disappointing to me because he answers no to a particular thing. But I've said on other occasions, if you've been around the best for a little while, when God says no, his no is really a greater yes. Because what he's saying no to, he's saying no because I have a greater yes to you. You're not asking for enough. Are you asking for something that's going to hurt you? Are you asking for something that if I gave it to you now, you won't experience the growth that I will have you to experience? So whenever God says no or wait, he's saying that, and it's really a greater yes. I'm going to answer you, but I'm going to answer you in a greater way than you than even thought about. I'm going to do something because you didn't ask for enough. You didn't really ask what you needed. I know what you need because I know you better than you know you. I know the best time to give it to you. So listen, listen, listen. Come to him, surrender by his name, his kingdom, his will. Give yourself to that. It's amazing what he can do if you give yourself to that. Listen, now, listen. When you make his business your business. Y'all listening to me? When you make his business your business, then he'll make your business his business. That's why you say, hey, now that I'm surrendered, hey, that I'm committed my life and everything, all my talents, time, treasure, influence, reputation, Everything that I have is committed to his name, his kingdom, and his will. Then he says, okay, since you made my business your business, tell me about your business now, because I want to make it my business. So now I can go to him and say, give me this day my daily, give us this day our daily bread. That's provision. I can go ask for provision now because I made his business my business. So now my business become his business. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, when you think about that, the concept that the Israelites had in their head was the, hey, when the manna came down, God provided them with manna each day and provided for them each day. And God says, with that same concept, because he told Israel, now, I'm going to provide for you, but one of these days you'll be able to provide for yourself so well because you've been blessed that you have to provide for others just like I provided for you. That's where the us come in. So he, a lot of times when we get provision, we get greedy with provision. But God don't just give you provision when you ask for it for you. He'll also give you provision to share with others. That's why we don't ask just for us. We ask, give us this day our, because I want enough, God, that I can share my provision with others. I don't want to just keep my provision for me. So give me some extra, Lord. Give me some extra where I can share with others. That's what happened when Israel. Once Israel got in the promised land, God said, now, you leave those corner places. Don't when you're out there harvesting your crop, you leave those corners for people that are in need. That's the corner blessing. For people that are in need, leave those corners. Because just like when you didn't have, I provided for you when you were in the wilderness and didn't have, now that you've been blessed, you need to provide for others. So give us this day our daily bread. Give it to us. So when it comes to needs being met and you sharing in your private times about need, oh, yes, we want to share our personal needs. But I'm trying to say, don't stop with personal needs. Expand that to the needs of families around you, communities around you. Share, especially in those areas where you can be specific about people that you know that are in need. Make your prayer list down. We used to have a prayer list for all the members of the church, and we could add others in as we got it. We'll try to get that back out again, redo it now. Some of those members have moved on and passed on, but we're going to try to get that out where our members, just as we used to do, could pray for everybody on that list, and even more if we heard others are in the need of help. So, because we made his business our business, he made our business his, and he says, now you can come to me for provision. But not only do we come to him for provision, but we come to him for pardon, for forgiveness, because Christ has died, amen, on Calvary's cross, and we can accept the provision and forgiveness that he provided for us. But now he expects us to forgive others the same way. Uh-oh. We have to, hey, if God has forgiven you, you ought to be willing to forgive others. If God's been merciful and gracious and kind to you, then you ought to extend that same graciousness, kindness to others that God has extended to you. Listen. It can be done because God will give you the power to do it. Think about what you've been forgiven of. Sometimes when we are exceedingly hard on others, and we look at, often we'll look at their sins and shortcomings different than ours. We'll give grace and mercy and say that ours are not so bad, but theirs is just terrible. And if it had not been for the blood of Christ that saved us, Who knows? Could have been me if it wasn't for God's grace and God's mercy. So when we make his business our business, his name, his kingdom, his will, and commit ourselves to bringing it forth as he uses us, as his people and his servants, his plan, program for our lives, and we walk it out, then he'll make our business our provision, our pardon, and lastly, our protection. Lead us not into temptation. I think Anderson says, if you don't lead me into temptation, because I can find it for myself. And most of us can find temptation for ourselves. But deliver me from, some Bible said, evil or the evil one, because of the way it's translated. But whether it's the evil or evil one, I need protection from that. When you pray, protect me from evil or the evil one. Don't lead me into temptation. Listen, you're saying to God, that's not the way I want to live. I don't want to live in sin anymore. I do not want to live. I want to live righteously. I want to live in a way where your name is honored because of people, the way people see me live. I want to live for you and bring glory to your name. That's something, but I need your help because I'm only human. So you have to help me to live. But it's not playing games like some of us play games. Say, I'm going to go ahead and do this and ask for forgiveness. That's the whole, no, that's not how it works. That's game. God is not into game playing. But once you're sincere and you're committed to living as people of light and holiness and followers of God, we'll never be perfect, but we should see some growth in those areas and God's protection in our lives. Because we're serious about dealing with the sin that comes into our life. We're serious about victory. We're serious about the life that he's given to us. We don't want to go back to the way we used to be. We want to go forward for all that God has in store for us. We don't want to be like the dog returning to his vomit. No. God has too much in store for us. And we have such an enormous task before us as extending his kingdom to others, discipling others, living out his will, all those things that he has for us, and we cannot turn back. There's just too much he wants to do in our lives. Oh, our God is such an amazing God. That's what I want to tell you. Our Father is passing on the family business to us. So we really got to be about making his name renowned, setting it apart, hallowing it where there's nobody like him in our lives, extending his kingdom and sharing his gospel with others and bringing other people under his lordship and getting them saved and then having them committed to doing his will. Committed to do his will. Because when we make his business our business, he'll make our business his business. Our provision, our pardon, and our protection. If you haven't today, as I close, believers, those of you who profess to know Christ, who put your faith in Christ, his finished work on the cross, You've given him your life. You've given him your life. You put your faith in him. Yes, you have. You said he died on the cross. And you knew he did that for you, to pay for your sin. So God can, you can call God Father, and you can be his son, our daughter. Consider doing that today if you haven't made that decision. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. Say right today, Lord, it's always been about me, my name, my kingdom, my will. Today, I want to turn my life over to you. I want to make it your name, your kingdom, your will. I want to be a follower of you. I want to make your business my business. And whatever promise, whatever program, whatever plan, whatever purpose you have for my life, I surrender. I surrender all. I know that in the surrender, this is just the beginning. Things won't be perfect, but God, you can use me to do some amazing things. So today I come to you and give you my life. You can do way more with my life, the life that I've been messing up with, trying to do it on my own, but it ain't worked for me. I've been trying to be better, but I keep coming back to the same place. It ain't worked for me, Lord. I need you today to really make a difference in my life. He'll do that. He'll do that. There's nobody like him. Nobody like the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. I implore you, encourage you, or invite you to make Jesus your choice. Yeah. He'll change the way you pray. Because whether you know it or not, the Lord's Prayer, or as we call it, the Lord's Prayer, really the disciples or the model prayer. But the prayer is more about praying. Really, to take a good look at this prayer, it's about living and how you live. So I hope as we learn more about praying, we're also learning more about living. Gabber is going to come and bring us a song for today. And as we are listening to the song, if you need to make that decision, make that decision, and also be prayerful for others that may need to make that decision.
Take me to the key.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I'm hoping that if any of you who accepted Christ this morning, we invite you to just leave comments on your page. I think there's a place for comments on there. And if you need help understanding that, we'll help you to know how to become a follower of Christ. And so you can find a Bible believing, Bible teaching, Bible living church to live out their life wherever you are. Now, usually this is the fifth Sunday. Usually Cheryl brings the word this morning. So I'm sorry y'all were disappointed, but she decided not to do it this morning. So but we'll get her in pretty soon. But we thank y'all for their chiming in. I wonder why so many people came in this morning. I forgot it was supposed to be her time. So we appreciate y'all just joining in. Hopefully I said something helpful. God used us to say something helpful. But we're certainly looking forward to when she's a little stronger and coming back and sharing with us. Quickly, a couple of announcements. Next week, we should have all of them. We already have them. We forgot to give them out last time. All your giving receipts, if you need one before then, we'll get it to you. And also, those of you who are employees, you should be getting your W-2s sometime early next week. We'll put them in the mail today so we can be all legal and everything. Continue to pray for us and pray for our church as we move forward to do some mighty things. We're realizing that, with the everything that's happening in our world, especially the pandemic. It's difficult, but we're going to still do what we can to continue to move forward with the kingdom, because we serve a great God who's worthy to go with us. All right. Okay, let me see. I got something here I'm pulling. Okay. Thursday Bible study. Okay, I think that's from 6 to 7 for Thursday Bible study for those of you who participate in that. If you want to participate in that, you can also leave a message and say, I want to participate in a Thursday Bible study. And we'll try to get you, make the name. And Cheryl says she's ordering books for the latest Bible study. So if you haven't want a book, be sure to contact her. All right, I think those are all the announcements for today. There's the Bible study and ordering books for the woman Bible study. We want to be in prayer. We got the gift receipts coming. Thank you for being so generous and supporting the church. We appreciate it so much. I think that's it for today's gathering. Hope you continue to have a great day in the Lord. We'll see you next time. Remember, amen, take time to pray. 40-day prayer initiative is still going on. So continue to pray as we move forward. God is going to do something if you just spend time with him. And that's the reward. He said, hey, when you're in secret, he'll see you in secret and reward you. The reward may not be what you're asking for. The greatest reward is just spending time with the God of the universe, and he's an amazing God. Thank you so much for chiming in today. Have a great afternoon.